Nate, we're trying to bring morale up.
Yeah, that's why you guys don't let me talk.
That is not true. We here.
Yes, sir.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to the 6 Yard Box Podcast. This is episode 73, my favorite number. And welcome back to our final in-studio episode.
Of course it is.
73 is your favorite number.
It's my favorite number.
Why? How did you
I feel
you
like I just
that?
See it everywhere.
Okay. Where?
Like, in just places.
You guys said where?
It was also Colby Mainoo's first number for United, which has no relevance to this, because it was my favorite number before. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Okay.
Welcome back to our final in-studio podcast episode of 2024. And lads, I'm going to pose to you as we go around the table, what's been your favorite moment here this year?
Whoa.
Yeah, we're gonna come to it. We're going to come to it. But welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I'm here joined by the lovely... Lovely, extra lovely today, Miles Alberger, Blake Talibas, Anton Leonard to my right, as always. And it's another Champions League week, Premier League wrapped up, double game week in the Prem, for most teams at least. And Here we're talking about all of it.
Okay.
What are you pointing to?
I'm pointing to the lights. I think we need to turn them up.
I will go turn on the lights.
Great.
Anton?
Because Anton
You're
looks like he's
me
in the,
on the spot.
Anton looks like
does,
he's...
Does anybody want to tell me their favorite moment of the year while I go turn up the lights?
Well, I need to think of it, first of all.
I can't even remember, like, what we talked about last week, honestly, so.
Unbelievable.
Okay, what's been your favorite moment?
Animal 11 was 2024.
Oh, 2024. I thought you meant this season.
Well, no, this year.
Okay, then,
like,
yeah, undoubtedly.
Six-yard box wrap, you know?
Yeah. No, I think undoubtedly it has to be Animal
11. No, we can think of something a little better. That's, like, basic, you know?
It was fun, though. Like, after that episode, we walked out saying... That was my favorite.
This is the best.
Ever. Yeah, I can't tell you.
What have been some arguments that we've had? A few Arsenal agenda app arguments.
It still exists, but it does. But.
I liked the Ballon d'Or week we had this week or this year. That was a good podcast.
That was just a great episode. We had Ten Hag getting sacked. Yeah. The Ballon d'Or robbery.
That was a good
episode.
I don't know. Like, I really don't know.
You
should have gave me some.
All the City hate recently mm-hmm. has been hitting well. But now you hit on Liverpool, so...
Like, let's see, like...
any remote pods up there?
No. Our Euros preview, we had our first two-hour podcast.
Yeah. I like that podcast.
I don't know how
wasn't that
was
just
cool.
me and you?
No, it was us three.
No, that was, oh, okay. It was us three.
Actually, it was us four. It was us four. Oh my God. I got mad at Miles at that episode.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. That was a great episode, actually.
Why'd you get mad at Miles? Do tell.
Because... Why did I get mad at Miles? I don't remember. It was probably some dumb
I think thing. You were brushing your teeth in the middle of the episode.
Was it?
Was it really?
No, I think I just got mad because he wasn't talking much and then he pulled out a bad take. So
oh, yeah. I pulled out a bad take and he goes, you can fucking talk.
Against France, too. That's the nail on the coffin.
I just didn't, yeah.
She hit the homeland and...
Our episode called Spoiling the 24-25 Premier League Season where I said Liverpool would come eighth.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
It is like wine.
That was kind
of
crazy.
I did say that City would fall off, though.
In your defense, most of your takes age well, I think. I look back and I was watching some of our old TikToks, like the Arne Slot one, beautiful.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was half an hour before that TikTok, but
it's called research, baby. It's called research.
But yeah.
Yo, what else? Footy Quiplash was good.
Yeah, it was cool.
We had some good moments there.
It was fun.
Not all could be included in
Miles
in the video, but
okay, Antoine.
No, Antoine was the only one who
was
had
the
one,
that didn't
get included in the actual.
When
TikTok.
The cameras were on, his was
there. You go. Okay.
I'm not sure the cameras were on for my moment.
Fair.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then a bunch of episodes hating on the international break. Okay, anyways.
That's my favorite.
He loves those.
Including a bunch of Arsenal crash outs as well, which brings us on to the first topic of this episode. Boys, we got to talk about Arsenal a little bit, who have had a mixed week. Obviously, you beat United.
Could have saw this coming.
About this time last week.
Could have saw this coming.
No, seriously.
No,
like,
bro.
This is a genuine issue we have to talk about.
With me?
Because every single time
okay.
Arsenal
right.
put in a... slightly below par performance. Not even a bad performance. Slightly below par performance from what they were used to last season.
Mm-hmm.
Blake says, and I quote, guys, all of our teams have been playing shit this week. All of our teams are in the slums this week.
Okay, slums is crazy.
I mean...
So, do you think... You can guess to me. We played 15 games. Arsenal's played 15 games. Guess how many times we dropped points already this season.
Five times.
Seven times.
You said, man, we've, all of our teams
is
are
that
shit.
All comps?
We've dropped, no, in the Premier in League, the we've dropped okay. points seven times in the Premier League mm-hmm. okay. already. Okay?
Okay.
Now, if I take a quick look, quick little look-see at last season, which I would love to do, but I don't know how to do that right now. I think all of last season was like nine. All of last season, we dropped 9 points. If someone can fact check that for me. But I think it was something close to that.
Yep.
Okay.
Already seven so far this season.
Mm-hmm. You're still third.
And Liverpool are going to win their next game against Fulham, who we just dropped points to. And then it's 9 points again. And we had a chance to close the gap even more, be on the same points as Chelsea, be a 4-point gap. Because it's also, like, football is such a mind game. 4 points back with a game in hand is a lot better than six with a game in hand. You understand what I'm, like, no, in Liverpool's perspective, points on the table yeah. are better than theoretical points that could happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone, I just, this team is just, I don't, okay, so I'm not.
On a scale of 1 to 10,
yeah.
on the panic meter, Where are you right
oh,
now?
I'm not panicked. I'm just frustrated.
I was about to say.
Like, I'm not panicked.
Okay.
Like, I'm so not Arteta. Not. The people who are calling for Arteta out are fucking clueless.
That I wouldn't say panic. Panic would be like you're fucking losing your mind because you're almost sure that the league is gone.
We're not going to win the league this season. I don't think we will. Like, now going into every game, like, I wasn't really frustrated. I was a little hungover. Then, but I'm not really frustrated going into the Fulham game, watching that, because, like, it's kind of nice. I've taken a step back and just enjoyed the football. I mean, I didn't enjoy that game per se, but I'm enjoying the football for what it is and not so much about winning. Because at this point, I don't think we're going to win the league. So there's no point in me getting super amped up about every win and loss because we're not good enough this season. So, yeah. And people calling for Arteta out are fucking ridiculous. Because what is Arteta supposed to do when Martinelli is just casually offside for the game-winning goal that would have stood if he wasn't yeah. offside for no reason? What is Arteta supposed to do when our striker cannot score by himself? He needs to be force-fed the ball and a good chance to score. He'll put away goals more than the average striker, sure, if they're available to him. But he's not going to do anything like a Gyökeres, like an Isaac, like a Haaland, who can, like, you know, make something magical a little bit. What is he supposed to do with that? What is he supposed to do when people are calling for him to play a left back or a right back? Miles Lewis-Skelly, who's like 17, who has no Premier League experience, but mm-hmm. they want him to play at right back or left back instead of Partey because they think it's a better fit instead of the guy who's played like a million games for a club and country.
Yeah.
What is he supposed to do? And people are calling him to go after everything that we've been through.
No, I agree.
Ridiculous.
I agree with you. But bro, you know how people in social media is the it's the craziest take over the best take that goes the most viral. That's how that's the world we live in. In it.
Fair.
Blake's a big beneficiary of that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Arsenal dropped points 10 times last year. Same amount as City. City just had more draws than losses. So
I'm telling you, you'll be fine.
Yeah, like we say this
not
every
saying
week.
You'll 100% win the league, but like
then
you
that's
said,
not fine.
But this time last week, you were going, guys, Liverpool are going to drop points. Liverpool
and they
gonna,
did.
Liverpool are going to go on a skid, and they did, and they did, and they'll drop more. You know they'll drop more,
and we probably will too.
Well, who will drop more? That's the question, isn't it?
Probably us.
They have harder fixtures. All right, they'll be fine.
I mean, they're not showing any proof of playing bad against the tough fixtures. I remember we were looking at this at their upcoming schedule like a month ago when it was all the top teams, the Leverkusens, Madrid,
yeah.
and we were like, this is where Arne Slot really needs to prove himself.
That's true.
This is to see if Liverpool's a fraud team or not. And
that's true.
They've won almost every single game.
And that is just, true. They just tied.
They've been really impressive right now. But it is right now. It's like a small sample size and we have to see how they are.
They just tied to Nuki,
you
know?
Yeah.
In midweek.
They did.
Their last tape.
A little
of,
bit unfortunate.
Their last
in the
tape.
Last minute, but
no,
it was a Kelleher mistake.
I'm not. No.
It was.
Do you know how many mistakes Liverpool have been gifted throughout this whole season so far? That whole game against, who was it? Not Everton. Who was it? What was the game before the City game?
For Liverpool or for Arsenal?
For Liverpool.
Southampton.
Remember Southampton gave them like 3 goals? We had that whole debate. So, no, it wasn't lucky. It was them finally getting a little bit of, you know, footballing aura that comes and goes. Anyway, back to Arsenal quickly. So the team news that came out of training today. Miles, you want to say it or you want me to say it?
Go for it.
So here's the people out for Arsenal
okay.
today who weren't at training mm-hmm. for the upcoming Champions League mm-hmm. game. Thomas Partey, Gabriel, Jurrien Timber, Alexander Zinchenko, Benjamin White, Taki Tomiyasu, and Calafiori. So that's 7 potential defenders.
That's basically all our wingbacks.
That's all our wingbacks. So, again, not an excuse, but all these Liverpool people, oh, we have injuries. Like, yeah, you have injuries. You don't have a whole block. I've seen Liverpool people online saying that.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
And
okay, I've literally seen it, but okay.
Last week.
Yeah, I said they have injuries too.
No, last week I brought up the Arne Slot quote on injuries.
Yeah, it's not an excuse, but I'm saying their injuries aren't seven fucking block of players. Like, what would you rather have? A defender, a midfielder, a striker out, or just your whole potential back line out, or your whole set of fullbacks out?
But it is an excuse in a way then.
Sure. But it's still unfair. I mean, unlucky per se. But yeah, we should. I said this before. We should be good enough to do it no matter what. Exactly. But we're not. Because we're not good enough right now. And yeah.
You're really not.
Gabriel Martinelli. Wow. Yeah, I'm out on him. I'm out on Havertz too. Like, he's too. Like, I get he had a great start to the season. And I remember saying, I was like, do we really need a striker anymore?
I think in recent weeks, you've kind of fallen into either relying on moments of brilliance from Mukayo Saka or set piece after set piece. And I think the corner FC narrative is a little bit stupid because you guys are fucking amazing at them. And I would play for corners too if I were you.
Thank you. We also don't do that. Like, we get corners, like, we don't try to get corners. You know what I mean? We still play the normal way and we just get corners.
Mm. Fair.
But yeah.
But it's literally all I've been seeing is like moment of brilliance from Saka or Odegaard at times.
Yeah.
Or amazing set piece.
Well, that's what it is, right?
It's like I feel like last year it was almost a more complete unit of a performance than I've seen this season at times from
Agreed.
You guys.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not, this team isn't what we expected them to be.
You've also just been so like bipolar in your performances, bro. Like, you'll be like, we came here last week, like, oh my God, Arsenal are back. Blake was complaining too much. Blah, 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 blah. You were overreacting. You guys are going to go on a run now and fucking do it. The week before that, we were panicking. The week before that, you were good again. Who says that next week we won't come in here saying like, oh my goodness, Arsenal are back.
And that's
like,
the problem.
They won both their games 6-0. Like, what were we panicking about?
Oh, we have Everton. Oh no, we have Everton. Oh, at home.
Oh no, we have Everton, guys.
Guys, like, I'm not. I'm gonna be honest. I'm not confident at any game anymore. And call me stupid.
Bro, when have you been?
Call me dumb.
You have Monaco in Champions League at the midweek.
I think we'll win that game.
Thank you.
But
okay,
should. We should. We should win against Everton. Guys, we should win against.
That's what I'm saying. Guys,
should win against Everton. We should win against Palace in the EFL Cup.
If you do win against Everton, Monaco, Palace, whoever, which team you play next, you going to come back here next week and be like, oh yeah, we're so back?
Okay, so first of all, I haven't said that.
No. To be fair to him, he's always negative about his team. Like, no, guys, Sporting is such a tough game. You win 5-1. Guys, West Ham is such a losable game. They're up 5-2 at halftime.
5-2, and then what do you say?
Guys,
I fear we may be back.
I did say that.
But that
I
was
said
heat
I
of
fear.
The moment, right? In the
I said
results.
I fear.
And then what'd you say about the United game? Guys, I got a weird feeling about this.
And we didn't play amazing. We played good, but we didn't play amazing.
You're by far the better team. By far the better team.
Then against Fulham, a bogey team who we've always struggled with, who we only got 1 point off of last year, fucked us over again. And I probably went in last week and said it's going to be tough. And it was tough.
It was tough.
Because Kivior can't defend consistently as Gabriel. You're saying that goal wasn't...
No, I didn't let... Finish your statement. Yeah. That's fair.
Can't defend as consistently as Gabriel. We have Partey at fullback. And Bob's
your uncle. That was one... That was literally... They got so lucky. That was the only chance they had. And good for them. They took it. And they scored.
Seems to me like we need to be better. Like, I'm not...
We need to be better. But that was just... That was one moment of brilliance from one player. And... It's just the way it goes. They took their chance, whereas we had so many chances and didn't take our chances.
Seems like a recurring theme in 7 of the 15 games we played so far. When all of last season, we dropped points 5 times, along with City. City dropped points 10 times, rather. So we're already more than 70% of the way through, or I guess 70% of the way through, our dropping points rate as of last year. Anyway, there's a lot
of
Arsenal.
You were much better in the second half of last season. You were.
Yeah. I don't know, guys. Like...
Brad, you'll be like, I look at the top three in the Premier League right now, and you are the team with the least amount of question marks. Because Liverpool, they've had injuries, but we don't know what will happen if they have like a core one. Plus,
a what?
Like a core injury.
Okay.
Like a one to like their spine that's like actually super important to the way that they play. Chelsea, we don't know. They both have new managers. It's the start of the season. We don't know how they're going to be over the course of, you know, a 10-month Prem season. Arsenal are the most proven product out of the three. Are the three teams there, in my opinion.
Yeah, but
and also with the December matches, it's proven, especially for Arsenal, but for pretty much every team, it really proves how good of a team you actually are once you make it to that to the midpoint in January after all those games, and you know, if you can really be resilient and show that you can perform with all those games, and it just shows if you what your team is actually about. Because yeah, playing once a week is like, all right, cool, or playing twice a week against some bogey team in the middle of Europe, but when it really comes down to it, after January 1st, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know.
I'm not convinced.
Just score from open play, isn't it?
Yeah. No, genuinely, yeah. I know. I'm not convinced. And
you so rage baited him with that.
No, he's right though. Like, he's right. We don't score from open. We haven't scored from open play in like three games.
You didn't all last week, right?
So whatever. It's unfortunate because inevitably, if Arsenal don't win a title this season, a major title, like, I don't care about an FA Cup. Like, I do. I want us to win the UEFA Cup. Want us to win the FA Cup. But like, I don't care. Mm. Like, it doesn't change the narrative of Arteta. Like, and this team. Like, yeah, it's good, but they won an FA Cup last year. United did. And does that really change your opinion on the team as a whole? No.
No.
Exactly. Really, so inevitably, when we do lose, if we do lose both titles, then everyone calls for Arteta out. And I don't think it'll happen, but it's even more pressure on next year. And if we don't win a title this year, it is a bit of a failure. Because what else are we doing for? What else are we doing and stuff? We're not like... Anyway.
You said I think
this,
you'll...
You said this was stupid. But at what point does Arteta comes and gets brought up in the conversation?
That is fair.
It's fair, but fair.
Bro, if you guys bring in Dan Ashworth and he's still obsessed with Southgate and all the other English managers,
yo, but at what point?
I'd be worried.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'd be worried
because no title this year, you'll be frustrated. And no, the ambitions you guys should have is to win the title.
Yeah, well, I think mostly if you fail this season, the thing you should look back on the most and regret is your transfer window.
Absolutely.
I think last summer you guys underwhelmed.
Raheem Sterling.
Drastically. I know.
Fair like, enough. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you guys get a replacement for Edu yet?
No.
No.
That's why we're looking at Dan Ashworth.
Apparently United, we're looking at Luis Campos.
Apparently Arsenal, we're looking at Luis Campos.
I think I saw that too, yeah. Either way, I'll just finish off by saying I don't think Arteta should be under any scrutiny right now. He did fast track a whole rebuild. So I think that his window of opportunity and his window of leniency should be higher.
Absolutely.
Just off of that notion alone. But we got to win something soon. So
what are you saying? Two years before he says Arteta? Soon, guys. Come on.
Well, if we don't win in 2 years or 3 years, that's a long time.
It's weird to judge it because he's brought you so far. It's like, has he hit a plateau? Or,
no.
Well, that's the question. Because if he doesn't win that title,
yeah,
can you find a better manager that would bring you over that?
But here's the thing. A better manager isn't making Martinelli not be offside. A better manager isn't making Havertz a different player.
That's what I was saying, bro.
You guys are right about Martinelli. You guys are right. But of course, Trossard isn't running at the same clip as he is last season. Mm-hmm. Neither is Martinelli. Havertz has cooled off. Saka is still Saka, but sure. But that's like three of the four attackers just aren't doing the same thing that they were doing last year. So,
no, yeah, there's a concern in depth in the attacking sector.
Just score in it,
which comes back to Julian's point with the transfer window. I mean, you look at your attacking players. You have Havertz, fair enough. Nine. Gabriel Jesus is his backup, which I know Arsenal fans aren't.
He hasn't scored in the Prem in like 7 months.
Then you have Trossard declining. Martinelli on the decline since a while now. Then Sterling, who hasn't really shown anything this season so far. So you only really have Saka that you can truly rely on if you don't count Odegaard as a...
What a weird signing, that. Sterling.
It was a bit of a panic one. Bit of a panic one. But this is what I'm saying.
Classic
like, you
transfer
want,
window.
Arteta is under scrutiny, but he has no fullbacks to play right now. One. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, I genuinely don't know who's playing fullback. on either side.
We don't have any. Because if you're in... Well, you're in Timber. Was not,
he's on that list, yeah. I don't know. So that notion. And then we have no attackers that are playing well. Mm-hmm. How is that his fault that he expected three attackers to just fall off a cliff?
There needs to be some movement in the January transfer window, I think.
But we should do some movement in this podcast too. Let's move on.
I agree.
Well, speaking of manager, maybe sacked, maybe not, maybe hitting a plateau. Let's talk about Tottenham.
That's dumb too. He just got there.
What?
Ange just got there last year. That's stupid.
I wouldn't say just got there, but
this ain't Man United, baby. We give our managers some time.
Yeah, Tottenham do not. That's my
point.
That's
true. That's
Tottenham had a devastating loss against Chelsea in the midweek. They were up 2-0 within like 15-20 minutes.
Guess how old Ange Postecoglou is?
60?
Really? I thought he was younger. Yeah, he's 59.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be like
he's
50.
Oh, he's graying a little
gray
bit.
Hair.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah. Sorry. Anyway.
Devastating loss for Tottenham in the midweek, 2-0 up against Chelsea. And in the most predictable choke, I think, of all time, they ended up going 4-2 down and then pulled it back 4-3 at the end.
Yeah.
A little consolation. And an overall terrible performance. And there were some calls for Ange to get sacked, but we're hearing reports now that the owners aren't panicking yet, which is surprising because it's a little out of character for the Tottenham owners. I think Daniel Levy in 15 years has gone through like 14 managers. Something outrageous like that. That may include some interims or whatever. But the average lifespan, the shelf life of the Tottenham manager is ridiculously short.
I think Ange has already passed that average lifespan.
Yeah.
But I think it would be a mistake to sack him. And I think everybody here at the table would agree with that.
No, their 100%. Team isn't good either.
I would disagree.
Like, you're relying
on... They have some solid players in that
They
team.
Do. But they were relying on a Brennan Johnson hot streak for a month. You know what I mean? Like, it's you can't rely on these players who are just hot. Like, you couldn't rely on Havertz to keep going forever. You can't rely on Brennan Johnson to keep going forever. Dom Solanke hasn't been worth his $60 million price tag.
Yeah.
So,
I like what they're doing in terms of like transfer market compared to like we were talking about Arsenal.
I actually agree. Yes.
This summer, Tottenham were actually moving.
Yeah.
They made some proactive signings, some good signings. Yeah. Solanke was one of the best strikers in the Premier League last season. They picked him up. Same thing with Who's the other guy that they signed? Thank you. That's on me.
They signed a few youngsters.
They signed a few. They signed a few Leeds guy.
Yes. Archie Gray.
Gray.
Who was on the hot streak as well in the championship. So I like what they're doing in terms of that. I think they have a decent squad. They have Vicario in net, who's injured right now. We were talking about one of the best partnerships, center-back partnerships in the Premier League a couple months ago. Now that they're Mickey van de Ven and Romero, it's still very respectable.
Romero's out for 6 weeks now.
Yeah,
that's probably good for that.
I think Van de Ven's injured now too. So Pedro Porro has been more than decent.
Yeah.
Same with Udogie.
Decent old team.
Bissouma.
No, they do have they have some good pieces, man. Yeah.
Solanke, Son, Madison.
They're 11th right now, 7 points off top four.
11th?
Yeah.
God damn.
Well, low key, lads, like top four is kind of not solidifying itself, but like Forest are 5th with 25, City are 4th with 27. And then Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool are top three. Like, it's kind of sort of solidifying itself, unless Villa can shoot up. But you kind of are starting to get to see what this top four is going to be.
But it would be a mistake to sack him.
I mean, yeah. Sure. I mean, unless a drastic Chelsea fall off happens, which I could see them dropping points. But I think they're going to hang around for a long time. I don't think City will drop out of it. I'm not scared that we're going to drop out of it. Mm. At Liverpool will be, so.
Fair. That's fair. No, they're definitely a clear top four teams in the league right now.
Yeah, just my valuation of it.
Yeah. Okay. With Spurs, my main thing with Spurs is I think they have the talent, and I think Ange is actually a good manager, but he's just a little stubborn in his in-game management, and it pisses me the fuck off. Like, we've talked on here about, like, game state and everything, how it's not only how you should manage game state, but it's also players, how they perceive game state and how that affects their performance. Like, the most dangerous lead in football is when you're 2-0 up and it's 2-1. Like, being 2-1 up when you're up
2-0. So scary, bro.
It's terrifying, right? Yeah. You get anxious, you start second guessing every pass, every decision you make, and obviously you're going to make more mistakes. On the flip side, your opponents are getting confidence and they seem on top of the world, right? To only exacerbate.
You were good. You had it too. I was you had it. Fuck, that's annoying.
Fuck. To only emphasize the problem, the system that Ange employs, and just refusing to change it, it only makes the problem worse because he refuses to drop the line or change any of his attacking principles, no matter what the score situation is. And we saw it last year, I think, in this same exact fixture between Chelsea and Tottenham, when Tottenham were on top of the league after 10 games, but that one kind of ended it. Nico Jackson, worst hat-trick of all time.
Oh, yeah, that was like the four.
And ever since then, he's stayed the exact same. And I think that's cost them so many points. I appreciate a manager always who has principles and likes to stick with them.
Yeah.
But in game, situation to situation, you have to be willing to tweak it even a little bit. And he never, ever does that. And I think it's cost them a lot of points. Spurs were not playing well, even when they were 2-0 up. They were not the better team. It was just a couple of Cucurella slips that they took advantage of. And nothing could have made him change at all. And they paid for it. So, yeah.
They did. Shout out Chelsea, man.
And we should do the thing where we give love to Chelsea, because now they are second in the Premier League. They're looking amazing. Cole Palmer looks amazing. Not just the penalties, which I don't want to glaze too much, but his overall performance.
So good.
Looks like with Enzo Fernandez, they're finally getting some money's worth. That midfield looks solid. Like, fuck, what else is there to say, really?
Yeah.
Jadon Sancho's playing well.
He's playing well.
Yeah, he is playing well. He is playing well. Give it 6 months. But
nice with his boys now. This is a good environment.
I think Chelsea's the kind of culture that he would
love. I'm just happy Batty Shield is playing.
Yeah?
Because it just makes my...
If he was a bench warmer, it'd be kind of...
Yeah, I know.
I won you as a bench warmer. So doesn't
Yo, he's jacked, by the way. Holy crap. I won you? He's huge. Pause. yeah, I mean, they're kind of good. Like, they have Nkunku, Joao Felix off their bench.
Bro, it pisses me off how good they are.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, they bought these players. Like, if Liverpool bought Romeo Lavia a year ago, or however long ago, you would have thought he would have, like, you'd be like, ooh, that's a good signing. Despite, if you didn't know the price tag, you'd be like, yeah, he was a good player, right? Mm. Same with Enzo, same with Pedro Neto, same with Caicedo, same with Cucurella. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Let's say all these players were bought from different clubs in the Premier League that weren't Chelsea. They weren't all bought by the Chelsea squad, by Boley. You would have been like, holy shit.
I think the biggest problem and why we were judging it so harshly is because of the price tag that they were being
bought. Sure, but take
a
the price
billion,
tag.
To, bro.
I'm, 10 figures. Again, they should be winning the league by now. But take the price tags out of it. Look at what they've done. Look at the players they bought just on like their footballing merit right now.
Yeah.
Why not, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah. And it pisses me the fuck off because Chelsea, I want to be a case study of like, you can't just buy league positions anymore, but they're finally fucking buying those league positions. It pisses me off, man. Yeah. Anyways, nice bottle, by the way.
Thanks.
I bought him that.
He did.
That was my Secret Santa gift. One
Love
of them.
That. Yeah.
Shout out winners.
United?
Yes, let's go United. A mixed week, I'd say. Nah, actually, no, not a mixed week, just a bad one.
You lost both games.
You guys
games,
lost both games. I was like,
Shout out Onana, man. Always makes you feel good. What a great goal.
Bruno too. While we're at it,
yeah, he's a stinker.
Let's shout him out.
Yeah,
yeah, I like that.
But the Onana thing was just funny.
It was just. It's like we've seen it before.
Like respectfully, that's something I do. Like,
that's actually the worst.
Brentford last year, I've seen.
But at least you got a touch on them last year.
Yeah, true. That
this one, you just go out I of get the there's a bit of swaz on it, but
like, what
swaz?
That was minimal swaz on that shot.
Also, even if there was some swaz, like you could have just like, do I mean? You had to die for that shit. It wasn't going into the corner.
I feel like you can also kick your foot when it.
Yeah, kind of just like, bro.
It's kind of like right next to you.
Yeah. I've been a big one on a defender, right? This season, I think genuinely one of the best keepers in the Prem.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe.
In Europe. Yeah. In the world. Oh my God.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing much defending this week. Oh my God. Week.
And Licha stock, what is he doing on that goal too? The Chris Wood goal?
Licha, hasn't been doing well under Amorim so far. I was hearing this tactico before Amorim came in. He was like, I'm really worried for Lisandro Martinez under Amorim's system. I was like, what's this guy talking about? He's fucking perfect in the three-back system. But hey, that's what's panning out so far. Mm. Lenny Yoro made his debut.
He did.
Finally, he's looking decent. He's looking decent.
He held three or two? Two. Three.
Two what? Three what?
Three goals.
If you're just going to look at that, then
I'm sorry.
If you just want to be a peanut brain like that, then fine, look at it. But he looks like a good young defender.
0% tackles one.
Peanut brain. Peanut. That's also not true, all right? I saw him tackle Martinelli a good few times.
I mean, no, I'm kidding.
All right. Mazraoui didn't start, though. That's the one thing about Yoro. He took Mazraoui's
No,
play.
But see. Go ahead.
Mazraoui and Yoro play kind of like in this system, clearly they play kind of the same. I liked what Yoro was doing. He was being progressive,
advancing.
Oh, now
a little
he
bit.
Likes Yoro. Okay,
I've always loved but, Yoro. I've talked about Yoro since his.
He's a
days.
French boy, of course he likes him.
Of course.
I have a question for you.
Go on.
How do you feel about this like rotation thing? that Amarim's doing a lot. Like, he doesn't really stick with the team.
I was hearing some pundits. You know what the thing is, bro? It's damned if you do, it's damned if you don't. If we'd been sticking to the same lineup, the results wouldn't be that different. So all the commentary would be, you know, he has to change up the squad. He has to experiment with different players. This is on Amarim. This is on Amarim. But damned if you do, he's been rotating, trying to find the best squad possible. Remember when he came in, he only had a handful of players that he had in training available to him that actually knew his tactics. So no shit, he's going to experiment. And obviously, the results, again, are not too surprising. So damn if you do, damn if you don't. Like, that's, again, it's stupid. I can already feel like a little bit of the media trying to twist it in a way to blame the manager. And it's so fucking dumb.
It is stupid. Obviously, he's going to rotate. Obviously, he's going to try new lineups, new players.
That's what I'm saying. Of course, I don't like every player just getting a clean slate and starting from the beginning when they've let the club down time and time and time again. But
Bruno. Sorry, wow.
What happened?
I don't know. That was weird.
Yeah, that was.
There are 10 players over Bruno that I messed up more than him.
Sorry.
We looked so much worse against Forest when Bruno came off.
You know what? I won't even doubt that.
You can probably imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching that game. Like, I'm saying, I don't doubt. Of course. I'm not doubting
your... Yes, our number one fan over here.
Are we a football podcast or are we not a football podcast? Okay,
You're not watching Chelsea like that.
Not this week for some reason, but anyway.
You definitely watch United the second most.
Yes.
100%.
We all do.
Yeah.
Do you watch more?
I just watch the Premier League second most.
Sure.
Yeah.
You don't be watching Forest, Brighton, you know.
Yeah. A little.
Well, you know him with his Adingra and whoever.
Who's the new midfielder now? Tell me.
The new midfielder.
On Brighton, the new little boy.
Baleba.
Yes,
Baleba. Is he French?
Carlos Baleba. No, I think he's
Cameroonian.
I thought he was Colombian.
Cameroonian.
Oh. I'm actually looking at him on my Benfica career mode because Inter Milan paid Florentino's release clause. I'm like,
he is Cameroonian.
Hell.
You could have just redone his contract.
I know I could have, but I didn't fucking realize it was there, Blake.
Oh, okay.
It was like 70 mil. I'll take it.
That's good.
Yeah.
I have another question for you. Mm. Unless you have a continuation.
Go on.
How mad or not mad or done with Mr. Shaw of Luke, are you?
Oh, my God. Brother.
Because I would have the same reaction you did if he played for my team.
He's just eating up the wages.
Yeah.
Eating everything.
Let me go play one game for England and then... Yeah. Let me go play one game for England and then just not play football again.
Oh, my God. So he was injured for the FA Cup final, right? He's basically been injured for the past year, but came back to play not in any of the Euros games where England got to the final, but the final itself. He just had to make sure he was available so he can get his medal. And then a week before the season starts, under Ten Hag, crucial time to start the season, I'm here to announce everybody that unfortunately I've had a setback in my injury and I'm going to have to miss a couple of weeks to start the season. He's out for 4 months. Now he finally plays 5 minutes here, 30 minutes there. Finally, conveniently, he's back when Amarim is starting his tenure, but I digress. I'd like to announce everybody that I've had a setback in my recovery and I'm going to be out for another few weeks. So we're not going to see him till May, basically.
He's like the white Reece James, you know?
Yeah.
Bro, he was Reece James before Reece James.
Jeez Rames, maybe.
Just fatter. I'm done with Luke Shaw. Availability is the best ability, and he has none of that. Bring me Alphonso Davies in the summer. I can't see Dallow there anymore.
Alphonso's gone, by the way.
Alphonso Davies?
He's gone. Where is he going?
United?
He's going,
keep dreaming.
He's going Madrid? Ooh, Arsenal?
He's going to Madrid.
He's going Madrid.
He's.
You seriously think? Do you really think that Alphonso Davies is?
Yes.
Going to United.
Oh.
If we could take Euro from them, we can take
Davies. Let's relax.
No.
Impossible. I wouldn't mind it. Like, I wouldn't be.
He does not want to go there.
I wouldn't be losing sleep if we don't get Alphonso Davies. Yeah. I'll say that. But then who do we get instead? Let's think. Anyways.
Yep. Great talk. I don't like, you want to know the thing about football now is, at least from my perspective, is if you talk to me 5 years ago about the best transfer targets, I swear to God, I know every single one. I know every single one. Maybe I was playing FIFA too much.
Yeah.
Now, like the next up and coming striker, like, I don't know. I'll know about him in 2 years when he's came up. But
a little Ryan Ait Nouri.
You take that?
Yeah, why not?
I guess.
He's more of a winger, no. though.
Where is he from? Algeria?
He'd play well in your system though. And
he plays for France.
No, I think he's Algerian.
I'm pretty sure he's Algerian.
Would he not play well in the left wing mid That's position? What I'm saying, bro. Yeah. Algerian.
Second question.
Yeah, I called up for Algeria.
Yeah.
Is he Muslim?
What?
Why?
Why?
Because Mazraoui has brought it into the team, mm. and we've been him and Ahmad.
Yeah.
Cooking.
All glory to Allah.
Exactly.
He's radicalizing the team, they could say.
No, well, let's not use that word.
Why are we laughing right now?
Look at it. He has his face on again. He always does that.
I just like it. Mazraoui comes in. Ahmad's some more influence on the team. Rashford gets a girlfriend. Everyone just seems more grounded now.
Oh my God.
I can't confirm.
He's Muslim.
Nouri is Muslim.
Oh my God. You said that like the Rhoda Shaw clip. You know what I'm talking about?
I know you are a Muslim.
Shout out Rhoda Shaw. Man. Shout out Rhoda Shaw.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Ryan Nouri would be your top target?
Well, I don't know. You
remember the name from Alphonso Davies to Ryan Nouri? Like, is crazy. Like,
I think we have an £11 million option on Alvaro Fernandez to come back from Benfica.
Who? I don't know who
that is.
Sorry?
Who? Never mind,
bro. Yeah.
He's been cooking so far this
of
season.
Of course. I'm sure he has. I'm sure he has.
You know what they could do if they get enough... if they get enough Muslims in the team, they can do the Christian versus Muslims in the training, like the French Snapchat.
Oh, Jesus Christ, mate! We're trying to bring morale up.
Yeah, that's why you guys don't let me talk.
Man, that is not true.
You refuse to talk. Yeah, you refuse to talk.
But the thing is this is why I don't talk. Is because when I talk, I say things like that.
Yeah.
So
you capitalize on these moments.
It was good. It was good. What else happened? I kind of forget what else happened in the Premier League.
To do with United as well, we had Dan Ashworth leaving. Yeah. Our sporting director left the club. Yes.
Right.
I think on Sunday morning it was announced that he was leaving the club. Yeah. It's a bit of weird news because he only came in. We started targeting him about a year ago, right when Ineos came in. We had a lengthy dispute over Newcastle, over his duties with Newcastle. He had to go on gardening leave. He accidentally emailed Newcastle at one point.
Gardening leave?
Gardening leave.
Like gardening?
Yes. That's what it's called. You've never heard of that.
No.
Gardening leave.
What's gardening leave?
It's when...
Tell me there's actual gardening involved.
No, it basically means you stay at home.
Home leave?
Nice. You get a definition.
Mate, gardening leave. You've never heard of gardening leave.
No.
Oh my God, you guys are fucking
That's some posh Tory
stupid,
shit, bro.
Really, yeah. Well, that's what it's fucking called. Gardening leave is a period of time after an employee leaves a job where they are still paid but not allowed to work. So basically, Ashford still had years on his contract with Newcastle, but Newcastle didn't let United pay the release clause, or United didn't want to pay the release clause. Oh. So basically, Ashworth isn't going to stay
like shitty
at Newcastle.
Severance.
So basically, don't let him work at Newcastle anymore.
Yeah.
But they're not going to release him from his contract. They just send him home. He's on gardening leave.
So shitty severance. Because severance is like the same thing, but you can do whatever you want.
Sure.
Have you heard
But you can't do whatever you want. That's the point.
That's what I said. Severance, shitty. You can do whatever you
that's
want.
That's shitty.
Okay.
It's
so,
a shame that... Sporting director is that's it.
But
good from you.
Thanks. That's all I'm saying, bro. We were disputing over like £10 million of Newcastle over getting Dan Ashworth. We brought them to fucking court at one point when he was on gardening leave with them. He accidentally emailed Newcastle with a message saying he's being tapped up. Fucking idiot. Does 4 months of just staying home of gardening leave, where he's probably working at United behind the scenes. And then he leaves after 5 months, having spent £170 million on players for a manager that was sacked after 8 games. Fantastic stuff. The thing about Dan Ashworth was he didn't fit at United. So I'm not mad that he's leaving. I think there's concerns that Ineos maybe got it wrong with the recruitment of Dan Ashworth, which is a little worrying because that same recruitment also extends towards the players and managers, et cetera. All over the club. But once I heard that he wanted Gareth Southgate at one point, and when Ten Hag got sacked, his shortlist was Eddie Howe, Marco Silva, Thomas Frank, and Graham Potter. Once I heard that, I said, good riddance. So he could go, he could do whatever he wants. He can go to Arsenal and bring that same bad juju to them. I'm happy with it.
You wouldn't have been happy with Marco Silva?
I was going to say, yeah.
Marco Silva? Probably not.
like a bit of a not super fun system, I suppose, but like
Premier League proven.
Fulham's a decent team.
Everton and Fulham, bro. Is that what we're doing now?
What about Thomas Frank?
No, bro. What the fuck are we doing? Yeah. But they have very similar approaches, very similar reputations.
That's what
bro.
I mean. Yeah, I guess.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Why are we settling for mediocrity just to have just to bring the Manchester back to Manchester United? Like, get out of here, bro. So it doesn't concern me at all.
A Fulham webpage said, Marco Silva is a genius, but he's not perfect. Oh, God. Shout out Fulhamish.
Shout out Fulhamish. Okay. Like, what?
Just reading. Go ahead. I'm listening still.
So. Yeah. Dan Ashworth has this whole time seemed a little bit overrated. Brighton, where most of his reputation came from, doesn't seem all that much like he really created the system there that they're benefiting off of. Newcastle, he didn't really do much until United wanted him.
Nuki.
And he didn't do much at United either until Radcliffe found out that he wasn't really the shit. So, yeah, I'm not mad at him leaving. It's a couple of months of lawyer fees and £3 million wasted. But if we get someone better in, I'm fine with it. No.
And who would you?
I don't know, bro. Like I'm my sporting knowledge.
That's what I'm saying,
my sporting director knowledge. Like I trust trust Omar to find the best guy.
Who the fuck is Omar?
Who is Omar?
Omar Barada, former CEO of Manchester City.
Interesting
coach from
me. Okay. Just pull out the whole resume. Former CEO of Manchester City.
Who else? Jason Wilcox.
Okay, enough.
We're not doing this.
Okay.
You trust us, we know.
Anyway, I trust them to find the right guy. I couldn't give you names because I'm not well tapped into that world. But yeah, it would be very funny if he goes to Arsenal. It'd be very funny if Ashworth goes to Arsenal.
I kind of hope that doesn't happen, but maybe it'll be good. I don't know.
Anyway. All right. What else do we have, boys?
Manchester Blue.
Another draw at the weekend. More draw points this time to Crystal Palace.
Maybe Nottingham, though.
They did beat Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
They did.
Something you
can
do.
Bare fucking minimum, though, isn't it?
I mean,
Bare
fucking minimum.
Bare fucking minimum. Right?
Right?
Did you like that clip I posted yesterday?
Oh, no. I was talking about like...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but did you like that clip
I posted yesterday? It was very good. I liked it.
You know the hook I made for that video?
Yeah.
It was not. Like, you saying that Chelsea finally get their money's worth. That was from like a month ago.
Really?
Yeah. There was no good hook in that.
How'd you find it?
In that clip. So I looked at transcripts from all our latest videos praising Chelsea, and I just put that as a hook. That was from episode 69. You going that?
Love that.
That's fucking
beautiful.
I'm sorry, bro. Anyways,
how did they draw to Crystal Palace?
They're a tricky team, man.
No, they're not. They suck this year.
I know, but they're tricky.
Are they?
They are tricky.
They're 17th.
I know, but they're tricky.
They're not.
They're a tough out. They're a tough
Did
out.
Did you guys
they're
lose to them? Out. That's the only really...
We drew 0-0 to them.
That makes sense.
It's only a good thing you can say.
You know
what
looks like a decent little player? Caught a vibe. Baby are coming for the ride.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah. He scored?
Daniel Munoz? Yes.
I think his second game in a row scoring, I believe. Yeah. Per sources.
I've always been a big fan.
Might have to pick him up in FPL just for him to not score.
Yeah. He's a decent pickup.
Like, he actually gets chances.
Guys, it's... No, but... This is a serious problem when you're drawing to the 17th place team in the Premier League as Manchester City.
Right. So, right. They have a lot of questions against them, right? A lot of questions against City.
Go ahead.
They're 2 points behind us.
Uh-huh.
Same amount of points dropped as Arsenal.
Yes,
but they are in crisis and we're just chilling.
I mean, they've won four leagues in a row.
And we should be tried to
stop
them.
You haven't won one since 2000. Okay. Well, anyways. Oh, yeah. Like, their standards, right? They have higher standards than you.
Yes.
Just be honest.
That's what I'm saying. They have the highest standards in the world.
Being honest.
Yeah.
You're drawing to an underperforming Crystal Palace team who have a good team and who I thought was a good manager.
I don't think they have a good team.
They have a great
They're like the Nashville Predators of Premier League.
The reference.
All right, cool, mate. That's a great analogy.
Nashville this season signed a bunch of really good players in free agency. Marchessault, Steven Stamkos. They signed, was it Brett Pesce? Maybe. But anyway, they signed a lot of good players in free agency. It wasn't Brett Pesce. I'm stupid. He signed with
that's really cool, bro.
What did Crystal Palace do as well? They signed a lot of good players. They signed Eddie Nketiah,
Lacroix,
Chalobah.
They kind of did a lot of work, and a lot of people thought they would take a bit of a step. Daichi, yes.
Smalasar.
Yes.
They kept Gehi. That's what I'm saying. Like, their squad is good. They shouldn't be 17th right now.
Absolutely no.
Just like Nashville. Falls on the manager. Their squad is good, but they should not be 30th in the league, but they are. That's a great comp if you guys knew what you're talking about, but
yeah, can't say I'm tapping into the hockey world.
I don't think a single person listening just went, oh, great point, Blake.
I mean, Nashville, fuck, I watched it. I just thought Brett Pesce played for Nashville, so that's my own problem, but anyway.
Who else is there to talk about, boys? There isn't much else going on in the football world.
In the Premier League, no. In the football the Premier World, League. Yeah.
Oh, David Coote officially got sacked?
Yeah, well, expected.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just on leave before, but now he's officially sacked. Well, yeah. I don't know how he wasn't sacked
Anthony
before.
Anthony Taylor next, fuck's sakes.
What does, like, one do once you get sacked? It's like, what's his career going to look like? He's just going to...
Nah, he's good. He's made enough money. He's
you fine. Think so?
You think?
How many? How
you're
how much
not money? Making crazy think, money as a Premier
at least 200K. Money. At least.
No.
At yeah. least what?
200K?
Yeah. No way.
I do not think so.
Yeah. 100K, I bet.
100K I is still good.
I was thinking a little less.
No.
100K is not something that you retire at 35 with, or 45 with.
I guess, yeah.
42 years year. Old. 100K a year?
1,500 pounds per game.
1,500 a game?
Yeah.
That's it?
That's it.
Really?
Plus a base salary of over 100,000 pounds a year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But no, it's still not enough
plus
to retire.
Plus 1,500 a game?
If you, let's say you reffed 10 years, he's probably reffed about 10 years. David?
No.
Yeah, he's been in.
No.
Give or take. 10 years.
You start like early 30s, maybe?
Let's say you referee 20 games a year. So what is that? 15 times 20 is
300.
There you go. 300. So let's say he makes
315
an extra 30 grand off of that and plus 130. So 130 per year. If you save like
but he's not,
20
bro.
Grand of
but
that.
But he's not. He's spending it on lines.
Grand.
He's spending
cocaine.
It on lines, man.
Okay.
He's fucked. Maybe he'll... Could he get a job at the in like the championship league?
No,
one?
I don't think he can. Maybe
still PJ
Brady Shea.
Maybe like he, Ireland, yeah, Scotland.
Yeah, no, I was thinking like maybe he can go to France.
Go to
Germany.
Go ref some Marseille games.
Yeah. He would love it over there.
Yeah.
Get killed over there.
Okay.
What?
The France ultras are crazy. You think they want some collusion?
Marseille is like known for like. You know,
there's a ref in the Bundesliga.
Oh, their players. Oh.
There's a ref in the Bundesliga that like 15 years ago got done up for match fixing. So if he can recover from that, then David will be fine.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
they do a lot of that in Italy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the mafioso collusion.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So.
No.
You know, I feel like it's a real shame that David Coote gets sacked for saying what 90% of all football fans.
What hating Jurgen Klopp.
Hating on Jurgen Klopp in Liverpool.
Yeah.
I do agree with that.
But that's why, like, this is why anyone in power, like, it's kind of crazy to think that anyone in any position has any sort of power. Because biases are just there. Like, the president of the United States has a bias. Clearly.
to what?
Like, to many, to what, any topic in the world.
Well, no
like,
shit.
Any of our professors have a bias. Like, Mikel Arteta has a bias. Like, it's just crazy how.
Which professors, Blake?
Any single one. I'm being general as a thing. I have a bias against all of you.
Yeah?
It's a good one, though.
It's a good one?
Mm-hmm.
Better be.
Apparently there's an Arsenal bias, too.
Yeah. And an agenda, actually.
Yes.
Agenda.
We're getting called Stoke City, like, because we're scoring corners.
Can't wait for Michael Oliver to come out with a similar video in a few years and Blake to be like, I fucking told you.
Guys, I won't say that because I'll tell you right now that it's true.
No, and then they'll come in and be like, I was talking about this 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember? No, we don't remember.
Okay.
And Michael Oliver's cease and desist will hit the
crack.
Mm. Anyways.
Mm.
You want to hit around Europe?
Let's hit around Europe. Let's go. La Liga is still heating up. I think both of them won this weekend.
The best championship in the world?
Low-key?
Is La Liga.
What do you
honestly,
it's
what?
So back.
What are you guys talking about?
It is
so
back.
Back.
This is... the best season, undoubtedly, since Messi.
Look, I'm glad you guys are.
Maybe since Ronaldo.
I'm glad you guys are keeping up with it. I really am.
Nice shirt.
I checked the scores. Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice shirt.
Shout out.
Where'd you get it?
Shout out.
Shout out New Jersey's plug, bro.
Yeah.
I said that right, right? It's Jersey's, right?
Yeah.
I think
it's just New Jersey, like the state.
No, you're wrong.
Anyways. Go on then. Let's stop here. Look it up, Blake. Look it up.
I think I'm right.
I think Blake might be right.
I'm right.
The three of us are wearing the top teams of the La Liga today.
There you go.
Look at that.
Yeah, shout out New Jersey's plug. Use code 60YardBucks to get 15% off at checkout on all your purchases. But yeah, so I mean, I'm glad y'all are keeping up with it, but I am not. I'll be honest. I look at the scores. I see.
When was the last time you watched a game in a league that wasn't UCL or Prem?
When was the last TFC game I watched?
No, not MLS either.
Okay. When was the last time you watched
the other big five?
The other big four leagues.
Like, definitely this season?
No.
I promise you, no. Yeah.
Like El Clasico?
Yeah.
Did you watch El Clasico? So that was October 26th.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Live?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the whole thing. But I did. Like it was
30 minutes.
When was that? October 26th?
October 26th.
No, yeah, I didn't watch it.
I don't think you
watched it. A month and a half ago.
I thought I did.
Yeah. Maybe last year.
They might have. Oh my God. Here's my thing, lads, though. Can I be honest with you? You guys don't. You watch football, but I watch a lot of sports.
Yeah, we watch football.
American football.
I watch a lot of sports too.
Like, you watch F1.
UFC
once a week. UFC is once a month.
No, it's not. There's cards every weekend. There's one coming up this weekend that I'll be watching.
Who's fighting?
Colby Covington and Joaquin Buckley.
Thank you very much. You have your sports.
NBA too. I watch football sports every weekend. So,
who scored 19 points for the Raptors last night?
Pirtle.
Yeah, exactly.
I know RJ put up 30.
Jacoby Walter, bitch. Anyway,
damn.
Do you even know who that is?
It was our rookie.
Okay, good. Sorry, that was rude. Anyway,
Scotty couldn't feel his leg. That was bad.
That looked bad. But it's hard. Like somehow, I try to watch all the as many Prem games as I can, but I'm not interested in La Liga because it doesn't.
Because it's the best, most entertaining league in the world. Is that
well? It's just not.
I mean, it is.
You can just say
there's,
that
there's 3 points between the first and the third.
There's
which is the four, best. Which is the best three teams in Spain?
Give it 5 weeks, and I bet you Premier League similar. Probably won't be Arsenal in there, but it'll be. It'll be Liverpool City and
just
Chelsea.
Just in case it happens.
I told you.
No, but I think the La Liga and Serie A, top two most entertaining leagues right now.
Yeah. Big up Atalanta.
Right. Okay.
Dude, the Serie A is crazy. It's like a 1 point between the first and like the eighth.
I know.
You're not watching Serie A.
I'm not watching Serie A. Okay. But
who the fuck does Atalanta have? Rui Patricio. No way. Zappa Costa still kicking around? Ben Godfrey.
Yeah, there's three points between first and fifth.
Ben Godfrey's just there. Scalvini.
I bet you the
great youngster.
I bet you the buy.
Juan Cuadrado, you know. Still kicking it around.
It's still going.
Juan Cuadrado. Wow.
You bet you what? You bet us what?
Nothing.
No?
That's good.
Martin Darun.
Okay, we're not doing this, bro.
Lookman's still going crazy. Skamaka's back.
Can we just
pick up
can we just Champions League preview?
Pick up Charles Akpo. Come on,
did you guys see the Mbappe interview?
The
Which
Mbappe
one?
Interview? No.
You didn't see the
oh, no. I heard about
that he was hating on the French coach?
Yeah, he was chosen.
Hasn't he done
he
that
wasn't
already?
Chosen on the, oh my God, by the national team on purpose.
Shut the fuck up.
Respectfully. He wasn't what? Yeah, he wasn't chosen by Deschamps on purpose. He said that he couldn't say in November why he didn't get picked for the national team because he would get in trouble, which insinuates that it was not his decision. He said that he wanted to play for the French national team in November when he wasn't picked. But no, that interview was really good. There's like he talks about like depression and what he's going through. He said he's not going through depression, but like earlier in the year he was going through a real tough time. He's talking about his arrivals at Madrid and how even though the season's rocky, he's not worried. You know those clips of him in the dressing room, like kind of isolated.
Yeah, those
and
are really
everyone's
dumb.
Everyone's like taking it out of proportion, saying,
"Yeah,
oh, he's
of course you do."
No, no one likes him, and he's not appreciated.
Like
in the
video everyone
rooms.
Was talking about of him in the tunnel, like kind of just locking in, like all players do. You just put some sad music over that, and of course it looks 100%. Sad.
And he was talking about that, how people take it out of perspective, and especially living in a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for him. Obviously, he knows Spanish, but it's hard for him to keep up with every conversation.
Absolutely.
And that clip in particular, he didn't catch like the first few words of the conversation, so he backed up because he didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
Yeah.
But when he's called upon, obviously he's gonna answer and
yeah, bro.
And the chemistry is fine. Man, I really hope he picks it back up.
Me too.
I'm looking back at the PSG years, and he made me dream, honestly.
Again, I think we were talking about this. We were talking about this last week or the week before, where like he's one of the few players left that like you watch because he's entertaining, not the team. He is entertaining. Jorge Bedinto, all that stuff.
And at the weekend when he scored, or before he scored, it was what? You didn't know who we were talking about.
No, because I was trying to find a point for something else I wanted to say, and I just zoned out, but I know we're talking about that.
Before he scored against Girona, it was looking kind of tough.
Arsenal, by the way.
But man, once he scored, like he just looked completely...
Enlightened.
Yeah. Looked like a totally confidence. Different player. Confidence.
He's one of those players that confidence does... Yeah.
I can tell that the confidence absolutely. Is really, really like doing him...
But see, I haven't seen that because they won't focus on the videos and the photos of him looking happy.
Yeah.
So...
Mm. He also says that he's not really tapped into the to social media like that. He doesn't really look.
He shouldn't be.
Yeah.
If you're a player of that caliber, you shouldn't be. Honestly,
I wouldn't be.
But
actually, I might.
I was looking at this Madrid lineup, and why doesn't Mbappe play on the right?
He's done it before.
He's done it way back
this season. All his best chances, or most of his best chances this season, have come from the right.
Yeah, mate, but like...
And he's played on the right side before. Yeah. It was where he played when he won the World Cup in 2018.
Rodrigo's out for a longer period of time now?
Yeah.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, he's not... He hasn't evolved. He hasn't like played that position in a while. But against Girona, he was coming off the right most of the time. And it was after he scored the goal, he was passing defenders. He was getting shots on target. He was playing genuinely pretty well.
Travella plus, guys.
But I do like Kylian, but... To play devil's advocate does seem a little bit on the stubborn side in terms of where to play. And he's come out publicly claiming that a lot. If he needs to play on the left, if not left, it needs to be striker. Beyond that, there doesn't seem to be many options for him.
No.
Should Ancelotti talk to him like, hey, you should play on the right. You should consider that. You should. But Ancelotti's probably done that. Probably has.
Like had that conversation?
He's probably had that conversation. Yeah. Probably. But I can't imagine Kylian really.
No, I think when you join a club like Madrid, you put ego to the side. You don't. You're joining the best.
No.
Yes, you do.
I don't know.
But yes, you do. You join the best. No, no, no.
Do you know how athletes work? That's not how these things work,
bro.
Everyone wants their cookies.
If you're fucking Tchouaméni, I understand that point. But Kylian and fucking Mbappe, they're only few players in the world that rival the size of Real Madrid and. Mbappe is one of them.
And
probably.
Vinicius Jr. is another one of them.
Sure.
So when you join a club like Real Madrid, who is the most accomplished club in the history of the sport, you don't look at Vinicius and say, I'm going to take your spot. But, no.
But I don't think it's that. But from listening to former athletes talk like on podcasts and stuff, that mindset of like selfishness never leaves you. It can get too much at times for sure. But that mindset of like, I need to score the best. I need to score and do all these things to be the best. That's kind of what helps the team in a sense as well.
No, absolutely.
And in this circumstance, probably not. But that mindset of trying to overachieve and be better than everyone else, that doesn't just leave when you join a team that's stacked.
No, from the interview that came out 2 days ago, it seems to me as though Mbappe is truly putting an ego aside and wants the better for the team.
Yeah.
So I think Vini on the left, Mbappe on the right, and then put like a Brahim Diaz at striker or a...
Yeah. Well, that's just...
Or maybe test Endrick up there or Arda Güler.
Endrick, sure, but I don't know why you'd run Brahim at striker. You just play him on the right.
No, I mean, he's tried Brahim at striker this year already.
Fair.
I don't see why you would waste so much of Mbappe's potential in the speed that he has when you put him striker. He needs to be a winger. He needs to create the chances. He needs to take on defenders one-on-one on the wing. Cut in, cut back, either cross it in or finish like he always does. Okay. Sure, we won't see that finish, that classic Mbappe finish where he shoots near post because his left foot is not as good as his right foot. But you can't waste the potential of Mbappe's speed by putting him at striker.
Fair.
Yeah.
And we saw that against Girona. All his best chances were coming from the right side. Yeah. I think he should be playing on the right.
Those are good points.
To fit the Real Madrid system and to try to fix...
Fair.
Everything that's happening right now.
I don't know if I believe he's not on social media. I don't know.
I mean, it's what he says.
Yeah. I think most players are on social media a lot more than we think.
Yeah.
Like, if you're John Duran and you're probably tapped in with everything with the hashtag yeah. John Duran.
Like,
what's the probability that he's seen our TikTok?
Low. Well, can I speak from experience, or is that like really crazy? Is that like is that really crazy?
Go ahead.
Or like is that? Go ahead. Is that like really self-centered? But
all right. Next step in Umbrella Academy star Blake Talbis can speak to this.
No, but genuinely, like when, especially when stuff first drops, mm-hmm. like one of the shows just dropped. Like I'm always like checking, what people think, or like if they like an episode, or blah blah blah.
No, I see more stuff of you too.
It's just
really fucking annoying.
It's just human nature.
Yeah.
Even the stuff on here gets like it gets in my head. I'm like, fuck you. But same time, like who cares? Mm-hmm. But clearly he does, because Pedro Porro deleted his Twitter account.
Yeah. Same after, with Brandon Johnson.
Yeah.
When he was getting criticized.
Pedro Porro was like, this week he deleted it.
Oh, he fully deleted it.
He deleted it after this week.
What reminded me of it was a couple months back, there was like a Chelsea TikToker who makes videos around the team that was hating on Nani Madueke, and Nani himself commented on the video.
Oh, yeah.
And then the creator replied saying like, I'm just joking. Ha, 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 ha.
I mean, we can also take Lamine Yamal as an example with
Exactly.
TikTok. Lemon, bro. Yeah.
So I think... Yeah. Especially the young ballers coming through.
Yeah.
I think like, bro, growing up in our generation, you almost can't help it. You know what I'm saying?
Can I segue?
Sorry,
I thought you were done.
What are you gonna segue into?
No, go ahead.
I wanted to bring up something else.
It's your turn.
Madrid?
About a player in Madrid.
So you can go.
Jude Bellingham.
He's back.
I think he's so good.
Yeah, he's back.
He's
definitely six in a row now? He's scored in?
Is it six in a row?
Five
six
or six?
Six in a row?
No, I don't think it's six in a row yet.
I think it might have been five.
But man, he is.
Let me check.
He is showing leadership in a team that
needs it.
He's showing like he's the chief in command. He's driving the boat. Like seriously, he will be the future Real Madrid captain, and I have no doubt about it.
Mm.
When I look at him play, I see him as a leader. I see him as a guy that can carry this team for the next 10 years, 5-10 years.
Oof, big take.
No, not even that. Like seriously, he got a little knock against Girona, but
five in a row in the league.
Mm-hmm. No, seriously, he's genuinely very impressive.
Mm, valid.
And now he's playing as an eight, so you get that a little box to box action.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
The 6-yard box curse strikes again. We make a video hating on Madrid, and seems like they're back now.
Mm-hmm.
Great stuff, guys.
Want my segue?
Let's hear the segue.
Remember this whole thing? Remember the whole Ozil Odegaard debate?
Yeah.
Cole Palmer in 67 games has the same amount of goals as Ozil does in 184 already.
Oh, my God.
He has 18 assists and Ozil has 54. But just goes to show you, while Ozil was fantastic.
Goes to show you he wasn't on penalties.
True. True. But just pointing that out there.
So what, is Cole Palmer better than Ozil?
No.
Coming from an Arsenal, that's such a weird point to bring up.
I saw it on a TikTok, but... Mm-hmm.
Did you not like Ozil?
I loved Ozil.
Are you sure?
But by the end
of it, that's 2 weeks in a row.
By the end of it, no. Like I like Sanchez more than I liked Ozil.
Mm-hmm.
Their careers, because by the end of it, Ozil, not the way he was exiled from the squad and the whole thing about that.
Yeah.
If that was true, which people think it is, terrible. But his performances were very lackluster. Like he did not control the game like he did at the end of his career, mm-hmm. compared to when he first came. Anyway.
Also, guys, Jude Bellingham scored 3 games in a row, not 6. I don't know what you're on about.
In the league. It's 5, but okay. Just fact checked it, but.
Oh, yep, you're right. He scored in every La Liga game since the Barca loss. Okay. Fair. Still not 6, technically.
I corrected myself.
Okay. La Liga knowledge.
Preview time!
Yes.
Let's go Champions League super quick, because by the time this pod comes out, at least half the games will have been played.
Pretty much, yeah.
And by the time people listen to it, it will be done.
By the time people listen to this podcast,
no, it'll be up
PSG
tonight.
PSG will be out of contention.
It'll be up tonight.
By the time people listen to it,
okay.
That's what I'm saying. Let's go through. How are you feeling about PSG?
They're going to lose.
They're
Sorry, you weren't asking me.
This is a must-win game. I think we all know this.
Really?
So we're playing Salzburg. I'll give you a little rundown. Salzburg in the Champions League.
We don't need a rundown.
I'll give you the fixture.
Okay.
So they started off against Dinamo Zagreb. 2-0 loss. Sparta Prague. 3-0 loss.
Yeah.
Brest, 4-0 loss.
They haven't scored in the first three games. That's a good start.
They haven't scored in the first three games. Then they redeemed themselves against Feyenoord. 3-1. 3-1.
They won 3-1?
They won 3-1.
Say, well,
and then they just got battered 5-0 by Leverkusen. Mm. Okay?
Interesting.
Three goals in six games. Five games. Three goals in five games.
If I was a betting man, I would slam the draw on this one.
PSG has three goals in five games as well.
Who on Salzburg are you worried about?
No one.
Oscar Glauch?
Can you name one person on Salzburg? No, not you, because you're looking at it. Yep. This is
Holland?
There's a Liverpool loanee on the team. Nope.
Liverpool loanee?
Keita?
No.
Bacetic.
Stefan.
He sucks.
Oscar Glauch, though. Remember the name, Oscar Glauch. Israeli star?
Shout out Dabby Dabber, bro.
Of course. I actually signed him on my Benfica FM save a couple years back. He's one day older than me.
No, but goalie. As I said, this is a must-win game. If we don't win today,
Glauch is.
Oh.
If we don't win today, it's embarrassing, and we shouldn't be in the Champions League if we don't win today. Like
Enrique out if you lose?
Huh? No. I won't get off the Enrique train even if we lose.
Okay.
There's still signs of a good system.
He's like
and a
me
good
with Ten Hag last year, where it's like I get rid of every other player before I get rid of the manager.
It's just the attacking
which
sector.
Which I don't disagree with.
It's just the attacking sector. I'm happy that Gonzalo Ramos is back. We'll hopefully score some goals with him, because you want to hear a crazy stat? PSG has not scored a goal via an offensive player, so an attacking player, left wing, striker, right wing, in a month. It's been a month.
Sounds like Arsenal.
It's been a month since an attacking PSG player has scored a goal.
That's
in the league and in Champions League, not just Champions League. So, goals are needed. It's good that Gonzalo Ramos is back, because we need him a lot. But, yeah, I need to see if Fabian Ruiz starts today, guys.
Oh my God. A month ago, you were on the Fabian.
No, I was not.
Yeah.
No, I was
yes,
not.
Yes, he was. Was he not on the Fabian love train a month ago?
What? I was on the Fabian love train in the Euros when he was doing very good.
And you always say,
and then
he
came back to the
PSG
club, and
okay,
he didn't
fair.
Do
okay,
the same
fine,
thing
fine,
he was doing
okay,
at the Euros.
Okay, fine.
I will never be on the Fabian Ruiz train when it comes to PSG. You need to get out of the club, respectfully.
You know what else we have to look forward to in the Champions League?
What?
Another Brest segment from our CBS Sports.
So good.
Wonder. I miss them. They're like, I miss them a lot.
You know what? Traditional football media on television had a few bad years, but
now
they're coming back.
It's back.
Like, did you see the overlap watch along with Neville,
so
Carragher?
Good.
Yeah.
So good.
And Ian Wright. And,
so
yeah,
good.
And Corey Ream is there, no?
Yes.
Yes.
You guys should watch. If you have time on your hands, watch the actual overlap. It's amazing.
Do they live stream it?
No. But I'm saying
they
have a YouTube channel where it's just like a podcast.
Do they live stream it though?
No, but they bring on like great guests. Like they brought on fucking Ricky Gervais last week, and they talked about like
they don't know who Ricky Gervais is. I bet you,
the comedian. Shut the fuck up.
What did Ricky Gervais create?
The Office.
There you go.
Funniest Office. Okay. Anyways, but it's really good, and they do these fan debates and stuff like that, and it's just really great.
That's
stuff.
Good.
So
that's good.
I watch them, and I
saw Stunpeg on there, just destroy.
Mm.
Anyways.
Real Madrid have a tough matchup. Atalanta. Another low block team ish.
Yeah. Fifth in the table.
Atalanta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's crazy. And they're playing away from home too, so.
And why did Liverpool have Girona? Like, oh my God. It's so annoying. They're coming off two wins against Madrid and Leverkusen, but they have easy fixtures apparently. Like, shut up.
Girona are 30th in the table.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I'm frustrated.
And debatably, Liverpool has the second hardest draw in the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
Next to you guys.
Wait, what did you say about Girona?
What?
The 30th.
I said
they're 30th.
Yeah, no. I said why did Liverpool have Girona? That's frustrating.
No, and then he said Liverpool are back are off the back of winning against Leverkusen and Madrid.
So I don't understand.
So you're trying to complain that they have easy fixtures.
No,
I'm just coming off of.
I'm just frustrated that it's Girona.
It's not fair, is it?
You shouldn't fucking worry about Liverpool or anyone else besides your team facing RB Salzburg.
I mean, I'm not. I'm really not.
Benfica Bologna.
Shout out Donny Van de Beek.
Hopefully Monaco slaps you tomorrow.
Yassir Asprilla, man.
Asprilla is a tough player.
He was Colombian? Yeah, he was such a baller in my career mode. I forget which one, but
that's great. Yeah.
2 years ago though, because I didn't play Grimoire last year.
You had a spree.
Yes, because I didn't play last year.
Wow. That's good scouting.
I didn't play last year.
That's good scouting.
Will you ever play Football Manager?
He said he would, and we're holding him to that. When it comes
my
out,
my Xbox is at
apartment. Well, wait until the new one comes out. Yeah, in like March.
You said March, right?
Yeah. I'm not buying it though. If it's on Game Pass, I'll play it.
What?
Well, then fuck.
What is it? $50?
Something like that.
Okay.
Come on. Like when we get out, out of class, you have extra time on your hands.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Monaco.
Arsenal play Monaco. Should be a win, but actually no, we're gonna win.
Benfica Bologna.
And anything else?
Where are Benfica, we? Benfica Bologna. We're 14th. Is that what we're doing?
14th. We're above Man City. We put some respect. And above Real Madrid.
And PSG.
And above PSG.
And that's it.
Respect. Respect. Bayern Shakhtar.
That doesn't.
Dortmund Barcelona. Dude, on
the games this week aren't very appealing.
Juve Man City? That's a good one. There's some sneaky good ones.
Yeah, there's some decent ones.
And these are must win games for City and for Juventus.
I wouldn't say must win for City. Must win if they want to make the top half.
And for them, that is must
win. It's must win for City. Must win for Madrid. Must win for PSG.
Where's Juventus?
Must win kind of for Arsenal too, like respectfully, because
are 19th. Yeah. Like this is probably
this thing. Everyone has to win because if they want to continue everyone wants to continue their charge into the top eight, and everyone has to win.
Mm-hmm. Of course, less games to play.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, see the Club World Cup draw. I think this is like last week.
No, we're not talking about it.
No. Oh, trust me, I'm not.
Okay.
I just want to point out
so weird
how dumb the Club World Cup will always be until the Zone come with us with a sponsorship and we get to go to games in person and cover it live. And we'd very much appreciate that, the Zone. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway.
I guess we can just quickly say City got more charges, but I don't think there's
and we know exactly what it means.
That's what I'm saying. There's no point talking about it because who knows? But and that's everything that we need to talk about. There's nothing else we need to do.
Yeah.
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 Nothing else. So let's just let's just take it away.
Oh, whoa, sir. Oh, two very important things we need to get to.
Yeah, two.
He's shaking his head.
All right, whatever. FPL.
He's shaking his head.
Do the FPL.
I will do FPL.
Oh, my God. Julian on the FPL roundup.
Yep.
Let's do it.
Can I just say, I loved how we did FPL last week where we joked about managers and the media and that way. So I'm relying on you two to keep that going.
Okay.
How did it go? Because I can help.
Him. He's not going to deliver. You'll see. Okay. Oh, Blake is depressed. Starting off, fourth place this week. It was a weird week in FPL. You had the Everton and Liverpool game. We haven't talked about it, but because of the storm out on that side of England, it got canceled. So that'll be a...
Was it a snowstorm or a rainstorm?
Rain. It was like flooding.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What are we doing here, guys? No,
seriously. Fuck. If we can play in some snow, they can...
Okay. Whoa.
Sorry.
And then Chelsea going to play in -17 weather in the Conference League this week, apparently. Mm-hmm. So, anywho. Because of that, Blake didn't have a great week before that.
Blame it on
but
the
had
storm.
An even worse week because of it. He had Luis Diaz. He had Robertson. He had Dwight McNeil. None of them played. So you had, Smith Rowe come in? Rodgers come in, Leif Davis come in. Is that right? Maybe something different.
I don't know. They probably were.
Yeah. And it was really bad. You had Haaland perform. He got a goal for the first time in ages, and nobody else did anything else. So Blake Talibas, 24 points for you. That is terrible.
No, it's over.
Game week rank of 11 million.
Oh my God. Yeah. So
isn't that the max cap of players? some bots beat you.
So. The Batty Shield manager did tell me, that he does think there's a complete element of unluckiness in this system. However, his performances and his tactical mind is not firing at the way it should be right now. And he's missed some deadlines, and it's unfortunate.
I don't know if I'm right, or I don't know what sources it was, but I did read that there was shouts of a potential sacking.
Yeah. I think they're going to hold on till the end of the season.
Okay.
Because I don't know how you sack someone in the middle of an FPL season.
Right.
Because, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or maybe it was resigning. I saw maybe.
I think I saw that one. Okay. Yeah. Like just deleting the app. Uh-huh. I think that's something that, that might have to happen. Anyway.
Did you get to ask him about maybe perhaps retiring after the end of the season amidst his poor performances?
Nah, he's going to go one more year
okay.
for sure.
Okay.
Probably.
One more year?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. From, what was it?
Mr.
From
nice
24 guy. Points in last place to 58 points in third. Crazy jump. We had a tie for second place between Roald Dietsch, Julian Betancourt, and Macaronian Cheese, Antoine Leonard. Some decent performances from those two. No more Mr. Rice Guy, I thought was on 52.
He is.
No, never mind, he is. I was looking at the week previous where he was on 60. Never mind. 52 points for Miles Alberga. This is like maybe the last time we're going to talk about your FPL week.
Yeah, you know, the manager was proud to put in. He was really, I spoke to him earlier this morning over the phone, and he was proud of the performance he put in. He got very lucky, no discounting that.
Go on.
But, you know, it is what it is. And he, you know, I spoke with him earlier, and he said that, you know, he's going to do his best to really rotate to, you know, make sure that this doesn't happen again so that he's prepared and ready to take on the top two competition and, you know, really try and keep that nice big wedge distance between. Bottom of the
I mean, I think that just proves the level of capacity of the manager of No More Mr. Nice Guy to be happy with a 52 when the average week is 50 just says a lot, you know. When you're sitting at a game week rank of four million and an overall rank of almost 3 million.
If you know anything about the manager, he is well okay with just above average.
Okay, well, if you're gonna compare yourself to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, the happy guy that's content with mediocrity, then you can go ahead and do that, but. Over here, we do it differently.
And again, you have to look at your performances in your other leagues. You know, I'm looking at your sixth place rank in the Yiddish Cup. I'm looking at your fifth place rank.
How do you have access to this?
I'm looking at your.
How do you have access to this?
I'm looking at your fifth place ranked in Diddy Diddlers. And you're down to 33,000 in the Thogged In and Thogged Dad Super League?
There's no way you joined that. That alone should show you the levels that I'm dealing with, and I'm somehow 100 points back from this buffoon.
I joined it 3 years ago, and it automatically puts me back God. In that.
And you're
year.
Down to 700.
Guys, I'm losing to a Thogged In Premier supporter. League. A Thogged In supporter.
Bro, I joined it 3 years ago. Lay off.
End the show. End the stream, blood! End the stream!
Fuck you, I got six less points than you this week. No one gives... It wasn't that bad, dude.
End the stream, blood.
Oh,
end
my God. Stream.
So what, it's just your family
this
members?
So funny.
No.
Charlie Alberga?
Yeah, one.
Shout out.
Read the other names.
Joshua David.
Rothstein, Botstein, Goldstein,
Tabib.
Schmoll.
Sorsky.
Anyway,
okay, guys,
let's stay back.
What is going on?
Goldenberg?
Oh, yeah.
Anywho,
fuck off.
This is why we don't let Julian do the roundup, because he just rambles for 20 minutes.
Yeah, this motherfucker went into my own personal life looking through the leagues.
I just saw it on the side. I couldn't ignore Diddy's Diddlers. Am I just supposed to ignore
that's
that?
That's pretty good.
Anyways, tied for first this week is Roll the Deitch and Macaroni and Cheese. Apologies for the earlier mistake. But I'm going to go through my week first.
You didn't even go through my week. You just said you just said how many points I had and then criticized me for about 3 minutes.
Lad, can you stop complaining?
Again, glorifying mediocrity.
You're 100 points.
I don't care. No, it's fine. I'm
in Burmo, 13-pointer.
Thank you.
Vardy, 12-pointer.
Like Vardy.
Colin, 7. Mm-hmm. And then blanks beyond. Oh, Konsa, 8-pointer. Mm-hmm. And then blanks like, beyond that. Again, big improvement from Blake. You're pulling away. I have to give you credit for that. But
yeah, 24 is insane.
2 weeks in a row, pretty much.
Like, that's mental.
Manager will take it.
Oh, man. Roll the Deitch got very lucky this week.
Did he?
Initially, it was a terrible week with Salah, his captain, not playing at all. He also had Dwight McNeil in his lineup, so those two didn't play. But in a stroke of luck, Cole Palmer was his vice captain, who went off for 36 points for Roll of the Deitch. Beyond that, he had Rico Lewis scoring a banger and then getting sent off. Great job, lad. So he scored 4 points. Aiden Nouri got 4 points. And beyond that, nothing else happened. So very fortunate from Roll of the Deitch. And it's not looking great for him. Very lucky. And then top of the league by 31 points is Macaroni and Cheese. Cole Palmer, 18 points. Brian Mbeumo, 13 points. And that's it.
Isak, put some respect.
Isak, 8 points. Same thing with Rico Lewis.
It's a signing he was very proud of when he brought
you
him.
You missed on your captain pick.
I did. So this is the thing. He told me he had heard about the weather report in Merseyside, and he was a little worried about it. So he did change the captaincy right before going to bed to Saka, putting the vice captain Palmer. And so Saka didn't do very good for him, but he says he's not worried about the league's lead.
I got to bring you up on your other leagues too.
Go ahead.
You're in the West Ham fan league.
Am I? I am. Oh. I had to pick a team.
Oh, fair.
I had to pick a team.
What the That's fuck?
Valid. Yep.
FPL with Monks.
Yep. Didn't name that one.
Is that how you're? Okay. And then Sport Media 2026, which we have not touched.
Which we have not touched, but still first, obviously. First everywhere, all across the
FPL
board.
FPL Focal League. What a tryhard. Anyways.
Yep.
Good week overall from the lads.
Thank you.
At least three of us. Blake, this is embarrassing. You're 100 points behind now.
Back where I was like a month ago.
Listen, okay. Mountains. Hey, mountains
we're a third of the
climbed,
season.
But man.
Over a third. Now. No. Over a third.
Over
now.
A third.
Yeah.
You got this. You'll be all right.
He now has the rest of the season in studio with us to discuss FPL tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike anyone else. Yeah. Do you want to make your announcement?
Oh, yes.
This has been a long time coming.
It has been a long time coming.
Tell the full story.
Well, in the most self-deprecating way, I don't think this will change the listener's experience much. A little less laugh. But I have decided to... You know, I spoke with the manager of No More Mr. Rice Guy, and he's decided he got a formal offer from Mikel.
We're dragging it now.
To go on loan to London for 6 to 8 months, and he will not be returning to return in studio for a little bit. But other than that, I'll be around.
This is a sad day.
It is a sad day. I will miss this very much. You know, Mondays and Tuesday morning today. They're my favorite days, you know, talking footy. But yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be back.
A little break. And then you come back fourth year?
Come back, revitalize.
You're gonna watch Arsenal not win a title in person?
If they do though, then being in London for that will be legendary.
Yeah.
And I hope for his sake that it happens.
Yes. No, it'll be good. We're gonna keep in touch. The group chat's still gonna stay this. Nothing's gonna change. It's just that these three boys are gonna have to find someone to operate their cameras.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll cook.
We have to rotate about switching because that hurt.
We'll figure that out.
My hand was sweating.
So yeah. But regardless, thank you guys. It's been a real joy and pleasure. I had a few ideas. I was talking with Julian. He shot down most of my ideas about how I can still stay
involved. What were your ideas? Your idea was you send in a voice note every week to just play at the start of the pod about your thoughts on football.
Yeah, that's kind of it. We'll see.
We can talk. We'll still have some remote pods where you are present. And then maybe we can call you as well.
Yeah, for sure.
We're probably going to do... We don't know our recording schedule final yet. But Monday mornings is a possibility, and that would line up with your time. So, hey.
Whenever. I'll be awake.
We'll see.
Sure.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. But anyway, Miles, we're going to miss you, man.
We are. Mm-hmm.
This studio's going to miss you. You're not going to see it for a couple more months.
Oh, man. Good luck dealing with the EDC boys.
That is going to be Blake's job now. Let's not put the EDC on blast live on the pod. Hold on. That's true.
Thank you,
we
EDC.
Love the...
I just figured out how to get rid of your watermarks on your screen, EDC. So
there you go.
But anyways, yeah. Thank you, guys. I'll be back. Real pleasure.
We love you, Miles. We do.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Take it away.
All right. Well, for the last time in a while with all four of us here, lads, it's been a good pod. All of our listeners, I hope you enjoy watching footy this upcoming week. Enjoy the Champions League.
I won't.
And enjoy FPL if you dabble.
God.
Listen, boys, thank you very much. Thank you for listening. And Blake, with all the energy you have left, take us away and take us to Nando's.
We are out of here.
See ya.
See ya.